Let's go to the book of Acts, chapter 18. The book of Acts, chapter 18. Amen. And the following week, and maybe I shouldn't announce it right now, but the following week we have scheduled evangelist Brother Pearson from North Dakota. Him and his family are going to be with us on the 18th, the weekend of the 18th. And so mark your calendar for that, and let's have revival at New Life Tabernacle. Praise God. Acts chapter 18 and verse 24. Acts 18 and verse 24, and this has been on my mind, and then I was reminded that I have ministered along these lines in the past, so if some of this seems familiar to you, don't worry about that, but I just felt like I needed to minister along this line here today. Acts 18 and 24, and a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. Praise God. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. And when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who when he was come, helped them much which had believed through grace. For he mightily convinced the Jews, and publicly showing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ. Amen. By the scriptures. That would be the Old Testament scriptures. Amen. He was mighty in the scriptures. And I want to just do a little lesson here this morning. And I don't feel like it's a lesson, but I feel like it's for somebody here today. And what we need is the right spirit, the right attitude when it comes to serving God, when it comes to living for God, and when it comes to approaching God, because God changes our life. God changes our life. And when he calls us, it's a call to change. And the change is for the better, amen, to take us from the sinful life to the life of righteousness, amen, from a life of the flesh to the life of the spirit. God changes us. But we must have the right attitude and spirit. Amen. We must have it if we're going to receive from God. Let's pray this morning, and I want to preach about Apollos. Amen. This man named Apollos. Father, we thank you today for the word of God. We thank you for truth. Ask you to give us the right spirit. Put it in our hearts this morning and the word of God in our hearts today. I give you thanks and praise. In Jesus' name this morning, and everybody said amen. Amen. You can be seated today. Praise God. Praise God. Well, when we talk about the apostles here in the book of Acts, to get an understanding of really the significance of these verses that we just read, it would do us well this morning to look at the culture and the atmosphere at the time of the writing of this scripture, the time that it took place. And in the days of the apostles after the ascension of Jesus, it was a very dangerous thing to call yourself a Christian. It was not a popular thing in the realm of the religious leaders and so forth. It was something that when people made a commitment to live for God, it was oftentimes a commitment to be a martyr for Jesus Christ. It would be very common, and it was very common for Christians to be killed. They said that in Rome at one particular point in time, that the road to Rome was lined with Christians that were crucified, and letting the people know that we're coming into Rome that this is not acceptable to us. There was also a time when the Jews were cast out of Rome, and Rome did not want the Jews or the Christians in Rome. And it was that kind of an atmosphere here that this man named Apollos steps onto the scenes of the Word of God, and associated rather with the Apostle Paul. Now let's look at a few scriptures. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 10. And I want you all to help me here this morning, all right? 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, and persecutions and afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch. And then he names a few other places. And the apostle's writing to this young preacher, Timothy, and he says, yes, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Amen. And so in that day and in that time, it was a very common understanding that if you're going to live for God, you're going to suffer persecution. There's going to be things that are going to come along in your life that are going to hinder you from without. And we don't really have that today in America. What we wrestle with more than anything is the materialism and the pleasure and the entertainment that that everyone is involved in. Amen. But here in the scripture day, it was a given that if you give your life to God, you're going to suffer for Him. And with this in mind, the person who changed and believed in this way was someone who was really a person who could think outside the box, so to speak. They were not of the traditional and the usual. They were adventurous people. They could follow the Lord out into the wilderness and cross around the entirety of the Sea of Galilee just to hear Him teach and to see the miracles that He did. On the other hand, there was the religious leaders of the day, and I spoke of them here just recently, how that they were very powerful in that day. They would actually kill you if you did not follow their religious teachings. They were very vicious. They were very cold. And society was against this way of Christianity. And so there was great peer pressure. And it was a societal pressure. And it was a religious pressure not to conform to this. Amen. And we can understand it a little bit, but not really as much as it was in the days of the scripture. And so here we have a man by the name of Apollos, and he was actually a man who was fitting into becoming I don't exactly know how to say it this morning, but he was coming to a place where he was very popular, and where everyone spoke of him, where everyone said, we're going to this synagogue today because Apollos is going to be there. And he would go to the synagogue. He had an understanding of the Old Testament scripture. He had an understanding of the message of John the Baptist. And the message of John the Baptist was repent. Everybody said repent. It was repent. Amen. And he was mighty in the scriptures. He was a man who would go from place to place. He was a traveling evangelist, if you please. And the Bible says that he spoke boldly in the synagogue. And in the synagogue, in the days of the Scripture, just to help us to understand a little bit here this morning as we move through this here today. The synagogue was set up very, very similar to what we have here today. They would have a wooden pulpit, and the folks would come, and often the males of the synagogue would be asked to read a scripture, and then another would be asked to give a life meaning of that scripture. And they would share the word, and they would discuss the word, and they would speak. Jesus himself was also asked to speak at the synagogue, and he would take the scripture, and he would open it up, and then he would expound upon the scripture. And the way of the synagogue was very similar to our way today. And obviously here, Apollos was a man who was used of the Lord, and he knew the Word of God. He knew the Scriptures very well. And if you hear someone that preaches well, there's someone who has studied the Word, and it's in their heart. Amen. It's down inside of them. It's burning inside of them. And this man, Apollos, was like that. And he would come to the synagogue. He would come, and everybody would show up. Folks from round about would hear that Apollos was speaking, and he would be very eloquent. He wasn't just throwing a message together. He wasn't just putting the sermon that he had for that day, just kind of throwing it out there and hoping that somebody could get something from it. But Apollos was very eloquent. He could speak very well. But not only that, the Bible says he was fervent in spirit, and meaning that when he got up to speak, it wasn't dead and dry and dull and boring, but it was something that was burning on the inside of him, and it came out of him. Amen. That's the kind of preaching I like. Well, praise the Lord. And he would go and he would speak, and his delivery was of fervency and eloquent. And the Bible says it was powerful. Amen. And he would use the scriptures to prove his point, and would convince people, and all of that. And to give us here a little bit of an understanding of this man's popularity and prowess here, let's look at a couple of other scriptures. Acts chapter 19 and verse 1. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus and finding certain disciples. What we have here in Acts chapter 19 is the story of the Apostle Paul going to Ephesus and finding certain disciples. Apollos was named here. Apollos was at Corinth. And so many of the places where the Apostle Paul established churches, Apollos had been there as well, and they knew him. And yet here, the famous story in Acts chapter 19 where the disciples that had only been baptized by John the Baptist and did not have the Holy Ghost, it was prefaced by the statement that it came to pass while Apollos was at Corinth. And so this famous story of the Ephesians receiving the truth is really marked in time by the location of Apollos. It's almost as though, Apollos was doing this while this was going on. And 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 3, Paul is writing to them, and he says, "For you are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envy and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal?" And so Paul actually had to write to the church in Corinth and instruct them and tell them, this is not preacher religion here. Well, praise God. He had to write to them and tell them because this man Apollos was so influential that it was causing division among those that were carnal. They were not spiritual. Amen. I'm telling you, God is the one that does everything. And God is the one that calls men to preach. Praise God. And God knows the personality of the person that he calls to preach. And God knows the effect that that person is going to have. And Scripture says some will have 30, some 60, and some 100. And we would all like to be 100, but we're not all 100. Amen. But that does not diminish the call, and it does not diminish the will of God in a person's life. Amen. I'm thankful for every man of God and every minister of God that's preaching the truth of the Word of God. Amen. But this man was so influential that it caused division among them because some were saying, I'm of Apollos. I'm an Apollos man, and wherever he's preaching, that's where I'm going to be. And he's the best. He's my favorite. And there's nothing wrong with having a favorite preacher. Amen. But then the apostle said that there are others that would say, I'm of Paul. And so there was a division among them. And I want you to see the depth of this division and some some were having there. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4. For I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judgeth me is the Lord. Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the heart. And then shall every man have praise of God. That's what it's all about this morning, is having praise of God. Amen. It's not about a person or a church or whatever. It is about the praise of God. And these things, brethren, have I in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes, that ye might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up for one another, for one against another. And so Paul was actually admitting here, I'm a very popular preacher. And he was admitting that Apollos was a very anointed and a very popular preacher. Amen. And so he had to come to the place where him and Apollos had to sit down and have a little talk with each other. And he had to tell Apollos, now listen, it is not good that this is happening. I'm just a man, you're just a man. But the praise that we get should not be the praise from people, but it should be the praise that we get from God. I love the Apostle Paul. He's such a solid man. Amen. And gave us some very, very solid teaching that we find here in the New Testament. Amen. And he admits here in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 that he had to talk to this man, Apollos, this preacher, about the matter of favoritism among the people. Amen. And he saw that the enemy could use this as a means to divide the body and to cause struggles among the saints. Amen. And I want to say this morning, this is not the will of God that we go in that direction, according to the Scriptures. And as Paul admitted here, they were just men. Amen. They had been called by God. They had been empowered by God. Their ability to speak was given to them by God. Amen. Everything they had was of God. And when it was all said and done in their life, they would stand before God as a mere person. Now, this does not diminish the place of the ministry. It does not diminish the importance of the ministry. Amen. Because it is very, very important. And so let's go just a little bit further here this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 12. Just stay with me. We're going somewhere here this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 12. And he says here, as touching our brother Apollos, I greatly desired him to come unto you with the brethren, but his will was not at all to come at this time, but he will come when he shall have a convenient time. And so in ministering to the Corinthian church, Paul understood here the need for other ministers to come and to minister to that church. Praise God. I don't want you to think that we are diminishing the importance of the ministry. And I thank God for every different kind of ministry that has come to our church. There is something about it. It has a way of finishing out and taking off the rough edges sometimes. And it has a way of helping us to see and to get a balance, amen, in what it means to serve God and to live for God. Well, praise the Lord. We need one another. We need one another. Praise God. I'm not an island by myself. We need one another. Amen. And Paul greatly desired that Apollos would come and minister to this church. There was no competition in the heart of the Apostle Paul. So let's just say this morning, to say the least, Apollos was mightily used of the Lord. And anyone who came in contact with him, it was evident this man is mighty in the Scriptures. And this is Apollos. I hope I painted a picture of this man that we can kind of get an idea here this morning where he stood and where he was at in the early church and all of that. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 28, the Apostle Paul here gives us some things that God has set in the church. 1 Corinthians 12, 28. And God hath set in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. And so right in the middle of the gifts here, the apostles, the ministry, the part of the church that we see more than anything else, usually is revered more than other things in the church. And I would say this morning that it's probably not necessarily a good thing, but we need to understand the whole body of the church working together. And so we have prophets, we have teachers, we have miracles, gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Those are some of the spiritual gifts. But he also puts in there teachers and prophets and apostles. Amen. But right in the middle of all of these gifts that God has set in the church, amen, there is that word helps. Everybody said helps. Praise God. There are the helps. And so right there, this was the epitome here of a man and a woman that we read about already. Their names was Aquila, that was the man, and Priscilla, that was his wife. And in fact, this couple had a unique way about them because some had surmised that Priscilla was the outspoken person in the marriage. For the way that they were spoken of. If you look into, do a little bit of study into this, most of the time it was very common in that time that if you were writing about a married couple, now today it's different, but in the scripture day I'm talking, they would note the husband's name first, and then it would be the wife's name. That's the way it was written in the days of the scripture. And it's different here with this particular couple. Romans 16 and verse 3, Greet Priscilla and Aquila, naming the wife first, my helpers in Christ Jesus. And so this couple jumps out on the pages of Scripture, and they are now the helpers of the Apostle Paul. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 19, salute Priscilla and Aquila and the household of Onesiphorus. And so we can see here that this is the way it was. They were a special couple. They did not have a call to preach. They did not have a ministry in the pulpit or with the Word of God as such. They knew the Word of God. They ministered the Word of God. They were helpers in the church. They were those that if you came into the church, and God help us, we need as many Aquila and Priscillas as we can find. Amen. Because they will take their big arms and wrap them around the new ones and encourage them and strengthen them. Oftentimes it's easy to think, well, the pastor says that because that's what he's supposed to do. That's his job. But I'm telling you today, what we need are folks in the pews that have an understanding of the work of God and what it means to edify the church. That was the Aquila and Priscilla that we're talking about right here. Amen. And they were helpers with the Apostle Paul. And not only that, they went with him on at least one missionary journey. Acts chapter 18 and verse 18, it says, and Paul after this tarried yet there a good while, and then took his leave of the brethren and sailed thence into Syria, and with him Priscilla and Aquila, having shorn his head in Centuria, for he had a vow. And so this couple was very unique. Amen. And she was probably the more outspoken of the two, but it was not an arrogant or a rebellious spirit about her. It was just the personality of these two individuals. And they fit together like a hand would fit into a glove. And they were mightily used of God. They were unique, but they were not in spiritual leadership that they were used to the point to make changes in the church or to make those major decisions that are given to the ministry to make. Amen. Nothing is recorded here in Scripture that they did this. They came from Rome, which at that time had banished all those who had called on the name of Jesus. And they had been dislocated. And now here they are, jumping up on the pages of Scripture. Acts 18, verse 1 and 2. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome, and came to them. And so here it was in Corinth. Everybody said Corinth. Corinth was a troubled church. Corinth was a city that was troubled. And, it's just amazing to me how God raises people up out of situations like that. And they were dislocated. They started there in Corinth. And Paul discovered them at Corinth, and he saw an extraordinary God-given ability that this couple had. And he said, I need them for my help. I need them for my ministry. And so they went with him. And Acts chapter 18 and verse 19, the Bible says here that he came to Ephesus and left them there, but he himself entered into the synagogue and reasoned with this with the Jews. And so I'm working on Aquila and Priscilla right now, trying to paint a picture for us. This Apostle Paul went into the synagogue here in Ephesus And then he left them. Paul left them behind. And so here they've been dislocated. They had to leave their home because of their faith. And now they're in the church in Corinth. And Paul came to Ephesus, left them there in Corinth, and go to other places to minister, and left them there in Ephesus. I said Corinth, but it was Ephesus. And many today would be upset that so much fellowship with Paul would be abandoned, and all of a sudden now we're left here alone, and we're in this church. We don't really know anybody, but I'm telling you what happened here with this couple. They ministered and they blessed the church. Amen. And I'm telling you, we need some Aquila and Priscillas, because, folks, the pastor cannot do it all. Well, praise the Lord. And one of the greatest things that you can do for God is to be an encouragement to others and to be sensitive and to minister to others. Amen. On a personal level, I'm telling you, it goes a long, long way. It really does. Amen. And so here they are. They're in Ephesus, and now the Apostle Paul is gone. And they knew the Word of God. They began to help in the way that God had anointed them. You know, there's some folks, you just can't put them down. You just can't keep them down. They're not going to get discouraged. They're going to keep on going, and it doesn't matter what's happening. They've got the right attitude. When you see them, they've got a smile on their face. Well, praise the Lord. When you see them, they've got a word for somebody else. They're not the ones that always have to be encouraged. They're not the ones that always have a problem. Amen. But they're the ones that have risen up above that and said, you know what? There's something greater than me here. It's the work of God. And it's others. Praise the Lord. I'm telling you, this is a very powerful message this morning, if you'll get a hold of it here today, because there is such power in the spirit of an Aquila and a Priscilla that it can literally change the life of an eloquent, powerful man of God. Amen. Acts 18 and verse 24, it says here, "And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the Scriptures, came to Ephesus." Came to Ephesus. That's scripture that we read this morning in starting the message here. And so, I don't know when it was. I don't know what days they had services. But the announcement came. We are having a guest speaker. His name is Apollos. And so everyone showed up. And Apollos preached. And he preached fervently, the Bible says. And he was fervent in the spirit. That's the smallest. That means he was driving and he was preaching and he was anointed. And he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, not only knowing the baptism of John. And he spoke boldly in the synagogue. Amen. And he was preaching, and he was preaching repentance, but he didn't have the full message that he needed to have. Amen. Now, here's what I want to get to here this morning. Here is a man who is so popular, everybody wants to come and hear him speak. Here is a man that when they mark the calendar, they say, Paul was over here at the same time that Apollos was over here. And here is a man that could have become lifted up in his spirit and said, you know, I know it all. God has blessed me. I'm popular because of me, because of my ability, because of this, that, or the other. I'm telling you this morning, we've got to get to the place where God can use us, where we can get outside of the box, so to speak, and step out and be used of God. Amen. And not withdraw ourselves because of of peer pressure or societal pressure, amen, but just to be who God has called us to be. Did you know that God has called everybody here to do something in your life? Doesn't matter who you are here today. God's got a purpose and God's got a plan for your life. Amen. We're really falling short when we go another way, but God has called us all to be a help in some way. The Apostle Paul preached, and his teaching was the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The only thing that Apollos had was the death part, only he wasn't even preaching Christ. He was preaching John's message. You must die out to your old ways. You must repent of your sins. And folks, that is a powerful message today. Amen. It really is. If we could get a hold of the need of repentance, the need to give our lives to God and to surrender our heart and our life to Him, I'm telling you, we would have a change in our world that would amaze everybody. Amen. Repentance is a powerful message. John preached repentance, and he was very, very much like Apollos in his popularity, and all of Judea and they of Jerusalem were baptized by John the Baptist unto repentance. But there is another way, and it is the New Testament way. Of repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. We die with Him in repentance, we are buried with Him in baptism, and we rise to walk in a newness of life in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. That's the gospel message for us today. Jesus said it this way, you must be born again. Amen. It's not just going down in the water in repentance, which really is accepting the Lord as your personal Savior or believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can study it out for yourself in Acts chapter 19. Paul went to Ephesus and he found certain disciples, and they had been baptized by John the Baptist. But when they heard the truth from Paul, the Bible says they got rebaptized in the name of Jesus Christ. That's the reason is there is only one name under heaven whereby we must be saved. And I thank God for that message today. Praise God. But it really comes down to not really necessarily understanding the message and understanding the gospel message. What it comes down to is my spirit and my attitude. Here was a man who could have easily developed an attitude. Here is a man who, when a couple in the church that he did not even know, a couple that came to him privately, and they said, could we share some scripture with you? Could we share some things with you and help you to have something more than what you have? You know, a lot of times when folks do that, we get on the defensive. Amen. We get on the defensive and we say, well, who do you think you are telling me what I need to do? Amen. And they were not doing that. They were not approaching him in an arrogant way or an arrogant or a better than thou or a spiritual pride issue or anything like that. They came to him and they said, Mr. Apollos, could we speak with you? And I can almost see her speaking. Amen. I can almost see her begin to say some things to this great man of God who had a great future in the kingdom of God. And no doubt many were to be baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost under his anointed preaching. And they took it upon themselves, not because they thought they had any kind of authority, but they just knew who they were, and they just knew what the message was. And so they took him aside, and they began to talk to him. And as they began to share with him the truth of the Word of God and what the Apostle Paul had begun to teach them and to share with them, all of a sudden I can see this great man of God. You know, I have seen men of God, preachers and so forth, that you couldn't tell them anything. Amen. You couldn't share anything with them because they would not accept it. Amen. But he began to tremble, no doubt. And he began to understand. And then maybe the trembling gave way to excitement. Amen. That now I have received something that I didn't have before. Praise God. Now I have an opportunity to have something that I have never had in my life. I've got an understanding of the Word of God now that I didn't have. Praise God. A couple of scriptures will help us to see this. Proverbs 15 and 10. You don't have to turn there. But it says, correction is grievous unto him that forsaketh the way, and he that hateth reproof shall die. Amen. And so there are those that correction to them is a grievous thing. Proverbs 9 and 9, it says, give instruction to a wise man, and he will yet be wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. Amen. I'm telling you here today, I don't know everything. And you don't know everything. Amen. I can be instructed to know more about God, more about the Word of God. Amen. I'm not changing my mind on the message because the message is the message. But I'm telling you, he had an attitude just like that, Proverbs 9 and verse 9. Amen. And then it says in Proverbs 3:13, happy is the man that finds wisdom. And the man that gets understanding. And you can go on and read down from that. Praise God. But I'm telling you, I'm preaching to somebody here this morning. And maybe you've done a lot of things in your life. Maybe you've accomplished a lot of things in your life. I don't know. But I'm telling you this morning that there is more. Amen. There is more. That is not to take away from what you have. But there is more than what you have today, and it is a beautiful salvation in Jesus Christ. Well, praise God. Amen. I'm telling you, he has something for you and I today that is wonderful and powerful. Amen. And all it takes is the right attitude. It would be the attitude of Apollos. Amen. God is in the business of changing us. God is in the business of correcting. God is in the business of moving our life in another direction. Don't be afraid of another direction. Amen. If it's of God, it's going to be blessed. Amen. And you'll be able to help other people. Well, praise God. Amen. And we can look at it in the scriptures. Not only was Apollos, not only did he take a major turn in his ministry by the hand of a couple that was in the church, but we can look in Scripture and we can see that God spoke to a man by the name of Noah, and he said, Noah, build an ark to the saving of your house. Amen. And Noah began to build that ark. His whole life was altered. His whole life was changed, but now I've got a mandate from God. I just feel this here this morning. I felt it for several days. Amen. That there is a mandate from God, and God is calling somebody to live for him and to do his will. Amen. If you are an adventurous person today, I believe you'll say, I want to live for God. I want to do the will of God in my life. I want to follow God with all of my heart, mind, soul, and strength. And it doesn't matter how big the job seems. It doesn't matter how long it's going to take me. Amen. God, all you've got to do is speak to me, and I'll follow and I'll do the will of God. Praise the Lord. And he built that ark to the saving of his house. Amen. Men like Moses, that was running for his life because he had killed an Egyptian. And there he is on the backside of the desert, and he sees a burning bush. You know what that burning bush represents? It represents the church. Amen. And out of the church, God speaks and says, take off your shoes. This is holy ground. Amen. I've got a call for your life. I've got a plan for your life. I've got a major change. You're not going to be herding sheep anymore, but I want you to go down to Egypt and deliver those people. I want you to go and preach to them and tell them I love them and I'm going to bring them out of this bondage. Well, praise God. I believe God's speaking to somebody here this morning. Amen. And the job was big. And he said, God, how can I do this? And God said, I'll be with you. Don't worry about it. He said, but God, I can't even speak very well. He said, who made your tongue? Amen. And you know what he did? He went down and became the deliverer and became the most renowned leader that Israel ever had. And the law that he got from God at Mount Sinai, the Ten Commandments, are still the laws of the land in almost every single country of the world. Because it's right. Amen. Well, praise God. A man like Joseph, who was just going on in his life, just a young man with such a great future ahead of him, all of his plans, all of his desires, all of the things that he was going to do. If I were to ask these young people this morning, what are you going to be when you grow up? We'd get all sorts of different answers here this morning. But I'm telling you, God's got a call this morning. There's a call of God in this place here this morning. I feel it in the Holy Ghost. There's a call of God in this place. Amen. And your plans are not going to work out the way you want them to work out. But when you get a hold of God's plan, amen. When you get a hold of God's plan, and if God's calling you, amen, to be a faithful saint in the church, I'm telling you, be the faithfulest saint that ever was. Praise God. If God's given you a call to teach, brother, teach. Study and teach. Amen. And God will use you. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. And Joseph had a call of God on his life. But you know where it led him? It led him to some very dark and dingy places. It led him through some areas, amen, that he didn't want to go to. It led him to the prison house where he was judged wrongfully. Amen. It led him to being rejected by his brothers. Amen. But when he came to the surface, praise God, he shot up like a rocket out of a submarine. Amen. And he became the prime minister of the then known world and was able to save his family from the famine and was able to be used of God. And when it was all said and done, he told his brothers who had sold him as a common slave, he said, don't be angry with yourselves that you did this to me. He said, it wasn't you, it was God that did this. It wasn't you, it was God. Oh, what a spirit. What an attitude. Amen. A mighty man, prime minister of the world. He could have judged his brothers. He could have killed them. He could have had them tortured. He could have gotten restitution on everybody that had done him wrong. But he said, it wasn't you, it was God that did it. Because God was leading me and guiding me. What a message. Amen. What a message he had. Amen. And God blessed him. God blessed him with so very, very much. Amen. And it was all because he had the right spirit and the right attitude. Amen. Where are you at today in your life? I have to ask you that question this morning. What have you accomplished in your life? What is it that you're seeking to get out of life? I'm telling you today, there's a God in heaven who knows your name. There's a God in heaven this morning that's saying, I want to make a course change in your life. I want to make a course change in your life. I've got a call for you. And will you come? Will you come? He walked on the shores of the Sea of Galilee, and he called out to two fishermen that was in a boat, and he said, come and follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. And the Bible says they forsook their nets, they forsook their boat, and they immediately followed Jesus. Their plans were set aside. Their goals for their future were set aside because now God's calling. And God, help us here this morning. God's calling here this morning. Does anybody feel what I'm feeling here today? Amen. Praise God. God's calling someone here this morning. Can we stand together? Amen. Can we stand together? You may be an Apollos. You may be well-respected. You may be someone today that has accomplished a lot in your life, but there is a God in heaven, and he's brought you to a church on a corner this morning to hear a message of a call of God upon your life. Church, can we pray right now? Can you help the pastor this morning? Let's lift our voices right now, and let's ask for God's help. In the name of Jesus this morning, in the name of Jesus this morning, God, we need you more than we need breath itself. God, we need your purpose and your plan more than we need anything else in all of the world. Help us right now. Speak to hearts this morning. God, speak to these young people this morning. Speak to these young people this morning. It's not a coincidence they're in the sanctuary today. It's not a coincidence that they've heard this message this morning. Speak to them. God, you see the adults that are in this house today. Oh, God, speak to us, Lord. Touch us, Lord. It's more than just coming to church. So much more. It's a call of God. It's a call of God to do the will of God, the purpose and the plan of God. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Is there an Apollos here this morning? Is there someone here this morning that says, this is what I've been waiting for. I'm ready to receive it. I'm ready to accept it. I'm ready to get a hold of it. Wherever it'll take me, I'm ready. I want to do it. I want to do the will of God. I want to follow after God. Because I got a feeling God's been speaking to somebody for a little while already. God's been speaking to your heart already and talking to you about eternity, talking to you about eternal things. Eternal things. Oh, God. Come on, church. Come on. Come on, let's ask God to help us right now. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. We need you more than anything, Lord. We need your touch more than anything. Oh, praise God. Praise God. Apollos didn't have to say, I'll pray about it. Apollos didn't say, well, I don't believe that. But when the scriptures were brought out, he trembled and said, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God, I need to do it. I need to live for you. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Sing it this morning.